This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Certainly a great day for hope. Hope that we may be finally moving away from this awful pandemic and the disastrous year that we've just experienced. There's a peace that is profound and full of meaning, I think, for many, many people, not just parents, not just kids, but for all of us. The piece by Alec McGillis, it's called The Lost Year, What the Pandemic Cost Teenagers, actually talks about the entire pandemic and what it means. What he says is the pandemic represents not just a natural disaster, but an epic failure of national government. And what he does, he takes a look at two different states, one New Mexico, one Texas, and the way they handled it, the way they handled the schooling and the in-person learning versus the lockdowns. And what do we learn? Well, it's a pleasure to speak to Alec McGillis. He covers politics and government for ProPublica. And congratulations on the piece, Alec.
Thanks very much, and thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure. One of the things that you talk about Hobbs, New Mexico, which was devastated, and I didn't know this, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, you say in your piece, had one of the toughest lockdowns in the country. And
right.
And then, of course, next door in Texas, Texas is now famous, some would say infamous, for basically having ended all lockdowns and restrictions. In terms of what you covered, the welfare of teenagers, the welfare of young people, which approach worked better?
Well, what I saw was just this incredibly stark contrast on display, like nothing else in the country, really, to have such extremely different approaches side by side. I was mostly in the town of Hobbs, which is about 40,000 people, right on the New Mexico side of the border, where things were shut down completely. School was shut down almost entirely all last fall. Only few of the youngest kids got to go at all. And the teenagers there were just really struggling. All sports were shut down. They were just really kind of at a loss. And one thing that made it so hard for them is that they looked across the border at the towns across the border in Texas and saw life going on more or less normally for young people there. They had school all the way up through high school, 5 days a week. They made some adjustments. They had, some mask wearing in school, contact tracing, but they carried on. They had, even had football still. They played football on Friday nights with fans in the stands. And so the kids in New Mexico see this across the line and just kept wondering, why can't we have this as well? Why are we giving up so much of our youth, of our normal high school years, when they're able to carry on over there? And the fact is that you look at the numbers now, and it's extraordinary how close the case numbers for both cases and deaths have been on either sides of the line, both in the local counties there and then more broadly the states, New Mexico versus Texas. Even though New Mexico took this much more stringent approach and had kept kids out of school for many, many months. And so that's what this piece is about, is that contrast in approaches and how much the decisions of our elected officials have affected us and our young people in such different ways.
Okay, you make a proposition out there that I think most people on the left, on the right, in the center, you talk about an epic failure of national governance that made the pandemic worse than it needed to be. And now it's interesting you say national governance. You acknowledge that states approached this in a very different way. No state got it all right. Of the states that you've looked at or what you're able to consider, is there or are there one or two that stand out as having handled the coronavirus situation better than others?
What I've been focusing on this year in my most of my reporting has been schools and young people. I also did a big article that came out in September that was focused on more on the academic costs of the school closures. I focused on a boy in Baltimore where I live, whom I've tutored and mentored in recent years, and who's just really has struggled academically with the remote learning. What you see now as we've gone on almost a year now is that there simply are some states that put much more emphasis on trying to get schools back open for in-person learning. And this includes mostly red states, such as Florida and Texas, but also some blue states, notably Connecticut, Rhode Island. They've made much more of an effort also. And that's what really stands out are the schools, the states that decided, you know what, we know this is going to be hard. We know we're going to have to improvise, but we're going to try to make this work. And what's striking now is to see that the states that did that, that got their kids into school many months earlier in greater numbers, have not necessarily suffered some kind of extraordinarily higher community transmission for having made that attempt.
And does this have to do with the idea? I mean, I know that they think that very young children are unlikely to get or transmit the virus. Generally, we haven't really heard about high schools or certainly middle schools that have been super spreaders, have we? Have there been any parts of the country where there's just been a school that has been overwhelmed with case load and case transmission?
There have been very few such cases reported. Early in the school year, like in August, there were some instances of schools in Georgia, down in the Deep South, that started their school year very early, that were being quite cavalier as far as spacing and masks and whatnot. And there were some cases there of what seemed like school-driven, school-related spikes in cases. But there have been very few other such cases. And what when I visited the school in West Texas, what they told me is that when they do their contact tracing for kids who have tested positive, that it really seems like just what all the transmission was happening on the weekends, that there was very little transmission happening within the schools, and that is generally what we're seeing across the country. And as far as sports goes, and the piece is really very much about youth sports as well. There's also been very little cases there. There was just recently a case of a spike involving a wrestling team in down south. I think it was in Florida, might have been in Georgia. But with outdoor sports, even the quote contact sports like football, soccer, there's just been very few reported cases of those being big drivers of transmission. And that's what these kids in New Mexico just found so frustrating. I mean, here they were, this boy who I focused on, it was his junior year. Junior year matters so much if you want to go play in college, that's the year you're going to get paid for the recruiters to look at. And he had just had his entire junior year season taken away from him.
And aside from a junior year taken away from him, in the few moments that we have left, what is the permanent damage you saw? Because your piece is about the lost year. What was lost permanently?
Well, I don't think it's giving away too much to note that this piece is partly about suicide. This town has suffered 3 youth suicides since the start of the closures. This is a town of fewer than 40,000 people. One of the boys was 11 years old. He was very open also about how much he was struggling with school being closed down and not seeing his friends. So that is, of course, the most
moving, detailed, and emotional piece. Alec McGillis, I'm glad you've written it. I hope it gets wide circulation. It's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. When we come back, a shouting match on the house floor. And no, not over the big American Rescue Package. We'll get to that and more on the MedVed Show. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks, a sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
To pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there's a certain amount of madness in politics, even on a day when the House of Representatives actually ended up voting narrowly, 220 to 211, in favor of the biggest stimulus package, the biggest spending blowout, $1.9 trillion. That's $1,900 billion. Look, it used to be considered a disaster if you had a yearly deficit of $1.9 trillion. That was unheard of. Even reaching a $1 trillion deficit. We're now looking at a deficit this year of close to $6 trillion. It's all amazing. But with all of that going on, there's still something else to get really, really angry about on the House floor. It's a union organizing bill. And it's an organizing bill that would basically force companies to allow their employees to be represented in unions. It's not even allow, because that's allowed now. There are the National Labor Relations Act and more give people organizing rights. It's basically forcing unions on these companies. But it's also an election year coming up, and one of the people who is running for the U.S. Senate is Tim Ryan. He's clearly bored with the House. He tried to run for president last time. He is a relatively moderate Democrat, but he was extremely irate about the Republican opposition to what's called the PRO Act. And the PRO Act is, it's under, you can find it under hashtag PRO Act, basically allows, and it was aimed very much at Amazon and other large corporations. Here's what Tim Ryan sounded like, the Democrat from Ohio, on the House floor.
Heaven forbid we pass something that's going to help the damn workers in the United States of America. Heaven forbid we tilt the balance that has been going in the wrong direction for 50 years. We talk about pensions, you complain. We talk about the minimum wage increase, you complain. We talk about giving them the right to organize, you complain. But if we were passing a tax cut here, you'd be all getting in line to vote yes for it. Now stop talking about Dr. Seuss and start working with us on behalf of the American workers.
Tim Ryan is running for the U.S. Senate. Rob Portman, the fine senator from Ohio, moderate Republican, is leaving. He is retiring from the U.S. Senate. And so the Democrats in a state that is increasingly Republican, a state that President Trump won handily in 2020, think they have a shot to pick off that Senate seat. And these Senate seats are so crucial this time. They are so essential, and of course, Tim Ryan feels that he has a winning issue on this one. And the problem and the challenge for Republicans is that there's every kind of Republican who's looking at that potential Senate seat in Ohio. It's a Republican state, and if they don't have a terrible, bloodthirsty primary battle between people about who is the most loyal supporter of President Trump, which appears to be what most of the lanes are in the Ohio primary field. There's a former state party chair named Jane Timken, Josh Mandel, who has said he wants to be President Trump's biggest supporter, and he believes President Trump actually won the election. They're running, and good luck with Tim Ryan. And you can imagine if he persists with that volume and that intensity on the House floor. On the same issue, the PRO Act about union organizing, Representative Ilhan Omar also got up on the House floor and took a shot at an American institution that's actually served very well and done very well during the pandemic. Listen, this is clip four.
I rise in solidarity with labor unions who, throughout history, have fought the greed of their bosses and corporations in order to have a better life. I rise in solidarity with workers in Marathon Petroleum Plant in Minnesota who are striking for safer working conditions. And with the workers at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, Walker Art Center, and many more workplaces who have recently unionized in my district. I rise in solidarity with the 5,800 mostly black workers in Alabama who are currently fighting one of the most predatory corporations in the world, Amazon, to form a union. Labor unions have been the driving force for all positive change for workers in modern history.
Okay, again, you notice she didn't mention any of the teachers' unions that are keeping schools closed right now. And look, labor unions have played a positive role in American history by and large, but there are negative aspects to labor unions. And even people who are longtime union members acknowledge it. And that idea that Amazon is one of the most predatory corporations in the world, why is Amazon predatory? I mean, do you have any idea what Amazon has meant to families who are basically locked at home, working at home, who want to avoid going out to grocery stores, who want to avoid going out to buy stuff? There are reasons why Amazon has done extraordinarily well in the pandemic. And by the way, there are reasons to believe that the entire focus on the new aid bill in giving money to education, we were just talking about some of the costs, emotional, educational costs of keeping schools closed. One of the things that the American Rescue Package is supposed to provide is American Rescue Plan is the official title. What they're supposed to provide is more money to reopen schools. Do you know how much they're sending out to schools? $176 billion. $176 billion. And there is a series of new studies that are very important that question the whole idea that the schools need more money in order to open. Why should that idea be questioned? We will get to that. It's a new study that's done by people, scholars at the Reason Foundation and the Cato Institute, and a professor at Arizona State University. The results are stunning. Also, that Alabama warehouse that she was talking about, how much do workers really get paid down there? Well, we'll tell you. Coming up on the MedVet Show.
The Michael MedVet Show.
It's powerful and inspiring.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Speaker of the House and Senate Majority Leader are praising lawmakers' work to get a sweeping coronavirus relief package through Capitol Hill. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is telling Americans that the aid is coming.
We say to America, help is on the way. You will receive $1,400 checks by the end of March.
The New York Democrat speaking after the nearly $1.9 trillion spending bill was passed with no Republican support. President Biden is praising the historic partnership between Merck and Johnson & Johnson in production of J&J's new coronavirus vaccine.
We're seeing two health companies, competitors, each with over 130 years of experience, coming together to help write a more hopeful chapter in our battle against COVID-19.
Biden hosting the CEOs of the two companies at the White House. USA Radio News.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
That is really extreme.
Well, not quite as extreme as Ilhan Omar, who calls Amazon the most predatory corporation in the world. By the way, that Alabama warehouse that she's talking about, how much do they pay for starters, for people who work there? $15 an hour. Which is the same amount that Omar and her buddy, AOC, and Bernie have all been pushing for the entire country. Amazon's already there. Plus, Amazon, as they make clear in a corporate statement, we also offer a full range of benefits to regular full-time U.S. employees that support employees and eligible family members, including domestic partners and their children. These benefits include medical, prescription drug, dental, and vision coverage, 401k savings plan, and more. Sounds like an evil, evil predatory corporation, right? Well, I'll tell you one corporation that is not predatory at all. It's actually inspiring. It's a company called NanoLock Security, which is a cybersecurity company that protects households from hacker intrusion via smart devices. Reports that it has already grown annual revenues by 270% in the first 6 weeks of 2021, reaching 40% already of its 2021 target of $3.3 million after less than 10% of the year has passed. Now, why do I mention this company to you? Because if this works out, it's going to become a household word, NanoLock Security, and help protect you. And it's one of the companies you can take part in through our crowd. This is an opportunity through crowdsource funding to be involved in high-tech startups and get in on the ground floor. And you don't need to be Daddy Warbucks or anything of the kind. Check it out. It's all free, as a matter of fact. You can read about NanoLock Security. You can read about other companies in which you can participate. Go to webinars. Check out the investment opportunities at Our Crowd. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Our Crowd, my brother's company based in Jerusalem, Israel. Okay, we were talking before about money and the idea of what is now, with the House of Representatives having passed the final bill, we're talking about a total of $176 billion for education. And two scholars, one from the Reason Foundation and one from Arizona State University, their names are Corey DeAngelis and Christos Makridis. They write a piece today in the Wall Street Journal. They say the new COVID-19 relief plan passed by the Congress includes nearly $200 billion for K-12 public schools, supposedly to help them reopen. That's almost the amount the U.S. dedicated in inflation-adjusted terms to the entire Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe after World War II. And it's on top of the money, unspent, that $54 billion for the federal bailout for public schools from December and the $13 billion allocation from last spring. So you're talking about well over $200 billion total. And she says, but new analysis that we've conducted, and it's fairly sophisticated analysis, suggests that funding isn't the reason teachers' unions are keeping schools shut. In fact, our prior work has found that union influence, rather than scientific concern about the spread of the virus, is the primary driver behind reopening decisions. And indeed, we find that public school funding is either uncorrelated or even negatively correlated with in-person instruction. Some models suggest that schools that went fully remote were mostly the better-off schools financially than their in-person counterparts in the same state. In other words, many of the schools that have continued to operate remotely have been the schools that have more money on hand. So how do you help this by sending more and more and more and more money constantly? The contrast, they write, between Florida and California is a prime example. This month's data indicate that in Florida, which spends about $10,700 per student every year, nearly all public schools offer full-time in-person instruction right now. In California, which spends 38% more per student and has a much stronger teachers' union, most public students still don't have access to in-person learning options. So this is why what Roy Blunt, the senator from Missouri, had introduced in the Senate but was voted down was the idea that you would only now authorizing, and we're going to borrow it probably borrow from the Chinese and borrow more and more and more money and obligate more and more and more of our descendants. We're going to borrow more money to send to schools. And what Roy Blunt suggested is they only get the money if they actually are open for business. You don't send big chunks of millions and millions of dollars to schools that are closed. But they didn't agree to that. The Democrats blocked it. Researchers estimate that Los Angeles public schools, which opted to keep their doors shut, had a more than $500 million funding surplus, or about $1,100 per student for the 2021 school year. Okay, they conclude with this. This suggests that the school reopening debate has always been more about politics and power than safety and the flourishing of the next generation. For that, Children have paid the consequences and will continue to pay in the decades ahead. Parents haven't had it easy either. The basic problem isn't new. Incentives are misaligned. Taxpayers fund schools rather than students. The only way, they say, to fix the system is to give families real options by funding students directly and letting them choose where to spend the education dollars. This would force schools to respond to the needs of students, not the other way around, forcing students to respond to the needs of schools. Look, it's a very, very clear thing that in a situation like this, if we had something like school choice, where you only got money if a student was able to choose to go to your school, and if a student could choose any school to go to, a lot of the private schools that are flooded today, that are open today, would have been flooded with new students. And it's one of the reasons that Republicans, going forward to these crucial, crucial elections of 2022, those elections have to be fought not only on, oh, the Democrats are bad, they've blown it, they're doing terribly. There have to be positive ideas. And I've been talking about this for a while. There needs to be something like the contract with America. It doesn't need to have 10 points on it. It has three that Republicans signed to, and one of those points ought to be choice in education. In other words, not simply deciding what schools to send to fund, but letting parents and students choose that. What school do you want to go to? Because the idea that that private schools are more costly to send kids to, not than American public schools now. In other words, if you simply figure out a sum of money that any school gets for including a student, let that go to the school that the parents choose. It's a basic principle. Milton Friedman talked about it a long time ago. What about honest reporting in bank loans and problems for President Trump? We'll talk.
I am so shocked you're talking like this.
Michael Medved.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833, toll free, 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
On the Michael Medved show, you'll be pleased to know that the crisis at the Golden Globes Awards, which nobody cares about, but I find it amusing anyway. It said they had a diversity disaster. Now, this is not because they didn't nominate all kinds of people of color. In fact, most of the big winners, or in many of the big categories, they had candidates of color who won the major prizes, like the director of the top film, Chloe Zhao, who apparently got in trouble with Chinese audiences back home. She's from Beijing, by saying that she considers herself an American now. She says, I'm now an American. She now says that she really meant to say was, I'm not an American, despite the fact that she's lived here and been educated here. Okay. The problem with the Golden Globes is it's 80 people who vote on this, who are the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And it turns out there were no people of color. They were mostly European. And so, actually, they may have had some people of color who were Asian. There were no black people on the Hollywood Foreign Press Association voting. So they just announced that they're going to solve this diversity disaster by hiring a professor of racial, gender, and LGBTQ issues, the executive director of USC's Race and Equity Center. So let the healing begin. Racism solved at the Golden Globes. There's also an attempt to try to make a piece. The New York Times has a headline for a piece. In GOP power struggle, Trump wants the money. What money? We were talking earlier today about the amount of money in politics, which is just ridiculous, is since the election was over, and of course it was an election that the Republican candidate for president lost, he managed to raise $250 million between Election Day and President Biden's inauguration. In any event, the former president this week escalated a standoff over the Republican Party's financial future, blasting party insiders and urging his backers to send donations to his new political action committee, not to the institutional groups that traditionally control the GOP coffers. No more running for money for rhinos, he said in a statement released on Monday by his post-presidential office. Of course, it can't be released on Twitter anymore. The aggressive move against his own party is the latest sign that Mr. Trump is trying to wrest control of the low-dollar online fundraising juggernaut he helped create, diverting it from Republican fundraising groups toward his own committee, which has virtually no restrictions on how the money can be spent. All of this, you can certainly understand that if Trump feels that the Republican National Committee is not supporting him enough, that he would not want to lend his image to them. There is, by the way, no legal basis for him restricting it. I mean, there's no question if you look at a lawsuit, and he's apparently threatened a lawsuit. In any event, they've all come together. The three major Republican committees now say we're very grateful to President Trump for any support, and he says, I am very willing to help raise money for Republicans, just not for rhinos and fools. And this, of course, leads to the fear, and it's a serious fear among Republicans, that President Trump is going to use his energy and resources to try to go after people he doesn't like very much, people who voted against him in the impeachment crisis, people like Liz Cheney or Lisa Murkowski. Most of the senators, six of the senators of the seven who voted against him, are not on the ballot this time. They're either quitting the Senate, like Pat Toomey, or they are just not up in this election cycle, or they just got reelected, like Ben Sasse. In any event, all of this leads to the prospect that here we have a Senate seat in Ohio that's going to help determine the final control of the U.S. Senate. And there is a very big focus going against Representative Gonzalez, who was one of the 10 members of the House who were Republicans who voted against President Trump on the latest impeachment. The idea of spending time, resources, and energy for a Republican civil war when the House and the Senate are both so closely divided, and we need every seat, and also President Trump has other things to focus on. And this is not the New York Times, this is not the Washington Post, this is the Wall Street Journal. They have a small article. It says, probe into a Trump estate moves ahead. New York subpoenas center on failed efforts to develop a 2013-acre property. And it says that Manhattan prosecutors are intensifying their investigation into Donald Trump's businesses. Great. Just what America needs right now. Taking aim at a Westchester County, New York estate that the president, former president, unsuccessfully tried to develop. And he bought the estate. It's called Seven Springs. He bought it for $7.5 million. And local tax assessments show that the property is worth about $19 million now. So it's done very well. It's gone from $7.5 to $19 million. The problem is that President Trump valued the property to $291 million. And that's $291 million as opposed to the $19 million. It's 10 times more than its tax assessment. And he submitted that valuation of $291 million to various financial statements that the New York Attorney General's office has gotten hold of that he had submitted to banks. It's against the law. You can literally go to jail for fraudulently listing the worth of your assets. He, by the way, the New York Post has just said he's going to be selling his oceanfront Palm Beach mansion, not Mar-a-Lago, for $49 million. He hopes. I do think this is a serious matter. If you look at the history of people who actually get convicted of fraudulent tax returns or financial statements, fraudulent financial statements to major lending institutions, it's a problem. I'll tell you something else that's a problem. When you have a terrifically charismatic and gifted young star who's in a rampantly and rancidly unpleasant situation of a movie, that just listen closely.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Rising British star Olivia Cooke plays a saucy, sassy Irish Colleen who gets involved in brutal underworld wars over a major shipment of drugs, contested between hardened gangsters, clueless 20-something goofballs, and an army of murderous priests and nuns led by Alec Baldwin in Pixie. Now available for rent on various streaming services.
You're saying it's priests that are out there.
These guns aren't going to shoot themselves.
Amen. Deadly gangster priests, yeah?
The Lord will have his vengeance.
The ugly caricature of the Catholic Church in Northern Ireland is meant to be funny, as much of the sadistic, brutal violence in this fast-paced R-rated film. This Irish brogue version of Quentin Tarantino or Guy Ritchie is at the very best a tawdry, guilty pleasure. Pixies are meant to be magical and charming, but not this pixie, only two stars.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
And it is very frustrating when you see people who are obviously talented, and the people associated with this film are. It's nicely shot, and the actors are trying hard, and it's unwatchable. You feel like, oh, I wish I could get that 2 hours back. And not a film to rent unless you have a morbid hostility against all things Catholic. Tomorrow on the MedVed Show, there is a headline that is alarming. It says, study, moral outrage is attractive among long-term relationship seekers. Why would you feel attracted to someone who is morally outraged or to rage in general of any kind? And there's an effort in more than 24 states to pass legislation that would prevent any employers from demanding that employees get vaccinated for the COVID-19 vaccination or anything else. Is that sensible, or should that be a choice if you're running a business? We will get to that and to much, much more next time in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.